Hello, everyone, and welcome to Muskies Matters with Lakeland University head football coach Colin Bruton. Muskies Matters is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Lakeland University coach questions about the Muskies, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Bruton's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach discusses the big victory over Carroll University. He talks about parents' concerns related to concussions, and why is it good to be a Muskie? Let's find out on Muskies Matters.
So let's welcome back Coach Bruton. Coach, our first show here together, we wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the program, but first of all, let's start with team updates you have for us.
Yeah, you know, it's been a good week on campus. We opened up our brand new stadium on Saturday night. It was the first night home game in school history, so that was a lot of excitement. And first home game on turf in school history. We put down brand new turf, brand new stands, lights, press box, kind of the whole works with the brand new stadium. So a lot of excitement with opening up the stadium. Then obviously, getting a win over Carroll was a big plus for us, big way to end, just a really exciting night and just kind of build the excitement that's going on campus in general with the whole campus community, the Sheboygan County community. So really exciting time at Lakeland here.
You open up with that big victory over Carroll University. As a coach, how big is having that first win of the season?
Well, I think it's big. You know, it allows us to establish some momentum. It allows us to immediately take some of the things that we were building on during preseason camp and put that to use. And our guys see what we're doing is successful. And I think it just builds a little bit of trust within the program, especially with our younger kids. I think with our older kids, we probably had that. But with our younger kids, it's good just to start off on the right foot and kind of build that trust. And the other thing I think is, we got some pretty big goals here this year, and it established us kind of moving in the right direction with accomplishing those goals, and just a big win. I think anytime, any win is a big win, but getting the first one is important, and just gives us a lot of momentum now, obviously heading into a bye week this week, but heading into a really, really challenging non-conference schedule we got coming up. We got Hope in 2 weeks, and they're going to be a really quality opponent. A top 25 team in some of the national polls in the preseason, and then we go to UW-Platteville in 3 weeks, and they're a top 15 program in the country, so it's going to be two really huge tests, and getting that first one and getting a little momentum was big to kind of prepare for those two.
Your team led 36-7 at halftime. What were some keys that you thought that enabled you guys to get off to such a fast start?
We kind of just hung in there defensively. I think that was big. We're still a little bit of a work in progress defensively. We had two linebackers that were making their first start. And really, the first offensive snap of the game, we had a bad run fit. They broke a run 62 yards. And Dante Rowell, who's a captain for us, a senior safety, really made it just a tremendous hustle play. Came from the opposite side of the field and was able to push the back out of bounds at about the 10-yard line. We were able to get a stop then. They missed a field goal. So really just a hustle play from Dante that saved 7 points. It was really a huge play. And then we went down and scored offensively and kind of flipped the momentum of the game and kind of got us rolling. Offensively, we're tremendously talented. We have Michael Whitley at quarterback, and he's obviously a pretty special one, 3-year starter, and he's got some great weapons on the outside, and we really hit some big plays. We hit an 87-yard touchdown. We hit a 99-yard touchdown pass, both in the first half, and I think we hit some big shots, and then because of that, we were able to be a little more efficient with our screen game and some of our run-pass option stuff, and we started to run the ball more effectively, but the big plays kind of loosened up their secondary a little bit and allowed us to hit some of the underneath stuff, and really it was just, we played with a ton of emotion, a ton of energy in the first half. There was so much excitement with the stadium and we did a ribbon cutting before the game and, our kids were just really ready to play. And then that emotion was positive emotion. Sometimes you get a little too excited and it's negative emotion, but we had really positive emotion to start the game.
Michael Whitley just seemed unstoppable in the contest. I'm thinking putting him on turf is like, just making him the Flash out there. I would gather you're expecting really big things from him this season.
Yeah, he's special. He's such a great kid. On and off the field, he's a great student. He's just a great leader on campus, both in our program and outside of our program. And he makes everybody else better around him. He's one of those guys. We always tell him you just got to be the point guard. He's got really good weapons on the outside, and you just got to make sure the ball goes to the right place on time and let those guys do the rest. But he's been a special kid. You know, the last 2 years as a starter, like I say, he's been the 2-time conference player of the year, and he makes us really difficult to stop. Now, as a senior, he understands the system so much better. He knows where to go with the ball. He's making the right checks. And with him leading us, we feel like offensively, you know, we really can be a special unit. And I think he threw for 370 in the first half, and you know, I think he ended up with, you know, almost 540 total yards of total offense. And not to say he's going to put up those type numbers every week, you know, but I think he's going to have, you know, numerous games like this throughout the year where he's going to put up some numbers that you look at. And we were joking in the office after the game that it's almost become nonchalant for us. You know, we looked at the numbers and he threw for 470 yards, and it didn't seem that impressive anymore. And to think about how crazy that is a pretty cool thing as a coach.
I bet it is. Well, you mentioned you had the bye week this week. Are there different kinds of things that you do with the team because you have the extra time between games?
Yeah, you know, we really give our guys a little bit of time off. So with Labor Day, usually we're a team that gives our players Sundays off, and we'll come back on Monday for film. And with Monday being the holiday, we gave them off Monday as well. So it kind of became like an NFL team where if you get the win, you get the extra day off. So our guys are, I think, we're really excited and appreciative of that. We've gone hard now Tuesday, Wednesday. Today we'll practice again hard, and then we'll give them some more time off this weekend, which I think will be good for the guys just to recover, both physically and mentally. But the other thing that we've done a lot of is we're getting a lot of our young guys, putting those guys in scrimmage situations. So you know, during the week, we'll work a 2-minute drill. We'll work some goal line segments, and usually that's more our starting group or our starters and maybe our second string guys. And those third and fourth string guys, the younger guys, aren't getting as many reps in those game situations. So we've been able to get those guys in really some scrimmage situations, do a lot of like time and score type situations where we're putting them in, a 2-minute situation, a goal line situation, a 4-minute offense situation, and just give us a chance to really evaluate our younger guys. You know, sometimes with the younger players, you know, during camp it's such a learning time for them, learning the offense, learning the defense, and then once the season starts, they become scout team players. So instead of running your offensive plays or your defensive calls, they're now running the opponent's plays for you and giving you a great look and really contributing that way. But they're not getting a ton of time in our scheme. So allowing them the opportunity to run our scheme, kind of reinforce the things that we put in during camp, it's been important. And it really just allows us to evaluate those guys. You know, there's been a couple guys in the last couple days that in those scrimmage situations we've really seen, and they've kind of turned some heads with you know, some of the plays they're making and just the growth they're having. So I think giving the young guys a little bit more time to really get to shine has been important for us during the bye week.
I know a lot of coaches like a week, their bye week to be later in the season. What are your thoughts on having it early on in the year?
You know, I think you got to have a bye week sometime. And I think for us, you know, I look at it like I'd rather have the bye week now or kind of week four. So either you'd play your 3 non-conference games and then take the bye before conference or I think this isn't a bad time to have it. You know, really, you know, with scheduling, it comes down to, you know, you have just a couple weeks that you can kind of choose from, and some of it is dependent on scheduling. And, you know, at our level, Division III, with budgets and things like that, sometimes with, you know, you don't have an option to travel. You know, so you have a limited amount of teams you can schedule a non-conference, and if you can get a game, sometimes you find the right game and you go and schedule it, and don't really worry so much about the bye week. You know, I think, like I said, this week it's given us a chance to really evaluate some of our young guys again. It's given us a chance to get a little bit of a rest after, you know, a really tough camp stretch after the first week, and kind of allow our guys to recharge. And I think the other thing with school starting allows our guys a little bit extra time the first couple weeks of the school year now to really focus on academics a little bit more, and I think that's been a positive for us. So, you know, I don't know if it's the ideal time to have a bye week, but I don't know if there is, you know, necessarily the perfect time to have a bye week. It's definitely a different feel, a little bit harder to motivate our guys during practice, a little bit harder to keep their focus. I think they're ready to play another game, and they want to keep the momentum going. So, you know, it's been a little different in that sense, but it's been a good week for us still.
Since this is the first week of the show, we wanted to kind of introduce and what we're going to do here and allow fans to kind of learn a little bit more about the coach and the school program as well. In the future, we just encourage you to write in with your questions that we'll include in the show each week. But starting out, we just wanted to talk about what was it about Lakeland that made it an ideal place for you as a coach?
You know, I think it's a really really inclusive community, which is important to me. You know, we have a very, very diverse roster, and I think that's something that makes Lakeland special and something that I really appreciate about Lakeland. We got players from, you know, 15 different states. We have a lot of guys from the South. We have a lot of guys from kind of all over the country. And to me, that's really been important. It's important to me to be able to recruit from an area that isn't necessarily, just Wisconsin or just the Midwest. And it allows our guys a great experience. It allows them to meet people from different areas. We're very racially diverse. We're very, ethnically diverse. And I think that's special about Lakeland. It's something that makes us a little unique and makes us different and something that, I would want in my program regardless of where I was at. I think the other thing about Lakeland is we've got really good support from our administration, from the top down. Our president supports our program, and he was obviously at the game on Saturday, and our upper administration really supports athletics, and we're a place where almost 50% of our students are student athletes. So it's a place that values athletics, which is important. And then I think just our administration athletically, my athletic director, April Arvin, is a huge supporter. She was a former coach, a very successful women's basketball coach, so she really supports athletics. And I think as a coach, you want to be somewhere where you're supported, where people allow you to run your program the way you want to run it, but then people that are going to support you and give you the resources you need, and we definitely have that at Lakeland.
You've had a great deal of success over the last couple of seasons here, your first two seasons as coach. I would gather that as a coach that this makes you a lot hungrier to take your team to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. We talked about it, night one, we had our first team meeting during camp, and we talked about the fact that our expectations have to change the program. And we've been to the playoffs the last 2 years. I think in 2015, we were happy just to be there, and it definitely showed in the result. We went to Wheaton, and we got our butts kicked up and down the field, and it was a pretty miserable way to end a really good year, And then we came back last year and, I think had the goal of getting the playoffs and competing in the playoffs, and we went to Whitewater and got beat, but played the game differently. We competed, made too many mistakes. We didn't match up in some areas, but we played harder, and I thought we competed and played to win the game, and really did some good things against Whitewater, who perennially has been probably the number one or number two program in the country the last decade. We came back this year and just said, hey, our goals as a program are not just to be there, and our goals now are not to be one of 32 and be a team that gets to see their name on Selection Sunday and cheer and be excited and then go to a game on Saturday, and get knocked out. So our goals are to continue building this thing, and we understand that it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work just to get there, just to get back to the playoffs. Our conference schedule is going to be a challenge, and we got to be ready week in and week out, and then obviously continue to grow with the mindset that, during this bye week, we don't have an opponent, but we're still trying to build, not only for hope in 2 weeks, but also for an opponent potentially in 11 weeks. And that's been a focus for us, from the start of the year. And we haven't shied away from that at all. We've told our guys that if this year finishes and we play a game on November 18th in the first round of playoffs and end up going home, it's going to be really hard to call this a really successful year for us.
I'm curious, based around that, are there things that you look at that you say we have to do, we have to practice a little harder? I mean, is there something you can kind of put your finger on and go, if we're going to be moving on to the next level, here's what we need to do to make that happen?
Yeah, I think, for us, when we've gotten that level, we've always said the last 2 years that our skill kids on the outside, we felt like really matched up pretty well. We felt, going to Whitewater last year, they were the number one ranked team in the country. If we were playing 7-on-7 against Whitewater, we would have been in pretty good shape. We really felt like we matched up pretty well out there. In the trenches is where we struggled a little bit in those games. So we've talked a lot about it. It's been a bigger focus for us in recruiting, trying to recruit, bigger, stronger players. Defensively, we switched from a three-man front to a four-man front this year, and that had some things to do with that. Is that, hey, thinking when we get to that level, we may be better served to be a four-man front than a three-man front. So there's some things like that have gone into it. But part of it is, we're not really going to change who we are drastically. We're not going to change scheme for a playoff game in November, but a potential playoff game in November. But I think we need to kind of prepare with that in mind. And I think it brought a different level of energy, a different level of focus to our workouts in the off season. It's brought a little different level to our practices, and I think that's been important. It's just keeping that, while our week-to-week focus never changes, and we're going to focus this week on getting better, next week on Hope, the following week on Platteville, and then through the conference season, you always know that you're building towards a bigger goal as well.
I'm curious, is there a greater challenge entering a season where you know that everyone is gunning for your team because you're the returning conference champions for two seasons in a row?
Yeah, I think there's obviously, you know, we're a big game on everybody's schedule, and as a result, you know, you have to bring your A game every week, and it's a focus that we have to get better at, quite honestly, as a program. You know, I think you know, there's some weeks where we're better in practice, we're a little more focused, a little more energized based on our opponent, and we have to realize that, you know, everybody else we're playing is probably going to give that great level of energy and effort and just that attention to detail, you know, when it's Lakeland week, especially within the league. You know, we've had a lot of success. We're 21-3 in the league the last 4 years overall, and you know, we're 11-1 the last 2 years in the league, and I think as a result, you know, we're going to get everybody's best shot, and there's some pressure with that, but you know, if we're going to get to where we want to get to long term, you know, that's the way it is at St. Thomas and Whitewater and Wheaton and Mount Union, and you know, that's ultimately our goal, is to become a program that can compete at that level. We have to understand that that's going to be the expectation, you know, every week of the year from here on out.
There's a lot of discussion out there in the media about concussions, and I'm sure many parents express their concerns to you about whether their kids should be playing football or not. What are your thoughts on this matter, and what are some of the things you say to concerned parents?
You know, I think I got two young boys. I have an 8-year-old son and a 2-year-old, and they haven't started playing football yet, but I assume at some point, obviously, they will. And you know, I think, first of all, it's a family decision. You know, you got to decide as a family if football is the right sports for you. And I think there's huge value to playing football. I think there's some skills as far as teamwork and discipline and things that football teaches. It's even a little different than some other sports. But ultimately, it's a family decision to decide if football is the right sport for you. And I would never tell a parent that your kid has to play football. But I would say that I think, like I said, there is great value in the game of football, and there's great value in building, you know, a young man up through the game of football. As far as concussions specifically, you know, I think the technology has become better. I think really, though, the biggest thing is that as coaches, as trainers, as people around the game, we're just so much more aware of concussions. You know, I think our trainers now are you know, actively looking throughout the game for anybody that shows any signs of a possible concussion. Are there still risks? Absolutely there are. But I think we're so much better at diagnosing those injuries. And then we're so much better at what we're doing post-injury, post-concussion. And we have a protocol here where, you know, if our guy has a concussion, he's probably out a minimum of probably 10 days at a minimum. And most likely he's going to miss, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of game time just going through our protocol. We have a 5-day return to play where they have to be symptom-free. And if they show any symptoms of the concussion, they start that protocol over again. It would start back at day one. So I just think that we've become so much more aware of it. This isn't, you know, 15, 20 years ago where a guy would, you know, we'd say he got his bell rung and he'd be wobbly and then he'd go back in the game because he could follow a finger or something like that. You know, it's a little different with how we're diagnosing things and just the attention we're putting on it. I don't think there's any sport or really anything you do that you can take all the risks away. And I think as a parent, sometimes that's hard to hear. But I think at some point you got to decide, you know, what value you place on the game of football, what value you place on athletics in general, and then you have to decide if you know, you feel as a family the risks are worth the rewards of the game. You know, I certainly feel like with my boys, if they decide they want to play football down the line, you know, I would love to have them play football because I think there's, like I said, there's so much great value to playing the game, but I think it's got to be a family-by-family basis.
You know, I think one thing that parents may not recognize is, I think at Division III level, coaches teach players to tackle more technically correct, and I think there's less chance for injury because players are more sophisticated about how they're tackling and the way they're going about it. They're not just creaming some guy. They're making good, solid tackles. Is that something you feel is accurate?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think with, you know, you see the rugby style tackling that's come into vogue the last probably 5 years, and that's been a part of it, is, you know, guys teaching different techniques with tackling. I think just, you know, also the way we're practicing. You know, you're not doing nearly as many full contact drills in practice. You're not. You know, I remember playing youth football, and you'd line two kids up 10 yards apart, and they'd run at each other, and one kid would have the ball, and one kid would be the tackler, and you get a collision, and we would do this repeatedly. You know, and I think you've seen that throughout the game, and that's been taken out of the game now, and I think that's a huge step forward. It's just being so much smarter with how we train athletes. And then obviously the techniques that we teach, I think, are huge. It's a daily point emphasis in our program, and I'm sure it's a daily point emphasis in really every program.
I know you've talked with me about how big an impact the parents have on your program. How do you see that, how they've affected the program at Lakeland?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, like I said, we have players from 15 different states, and a lot of these parents are sending their sons to us and really trusting us to help mold their sons into the men they want them to be, and that's a huge responsibility for us. But it also requires a tremendous amount of trust from parents, and they have to trust that we're people that are going to care about their son and care about him both on the field and off the field, and not just care about him because he's a running back or he's a defensive lineman, but care about him because of the person that he is, you know. So we want to keep a very open door policy with parents. Obviously, a lot of times it's hard for parents to come in and talk to us, but our phones are always available. And we tell parents right from the start, we'll talk to you about anything related to your son with the exception of playing time. So if it's a playing time issue, we're going to say, please send your son in. We'd love to talk to him about what he can do to help himself earn more playing time. But anything else that a parent has a concern with, you know, we want them to be involved. We want to give them as much information as we can. And sometimes they have some things that they want to talk to us about that, you know, we may not see, you know, something that's going on with their son in his life, whether it's a personal issue or just something going on at home or something like that. And we want to keep that line of communication open. It helps us better coach the young man. And it also, I think, gives them a sense of security knowing that their son is here at Lakeland and away from home and that we're treating them the right way. So, you know, really, you know, parents are a huge, huge part of this program. We talk all the time about being a football family, and that obviously includes our coaches and players and managers and trainers, but it also extends to our players' families. You know, we had a huge, huge crowd on Saturday night, and a lot of that was our parents and grandparents. And, you know, Michael's family from Louisiana brought 9 members up, and we got another offensive lineman from Louisiana, and his parents couldn't get up because of some of the storms down there, but they had a watch party that they were, you know, kind of rented out a place to have a watch party and watch the live stream of the game. And our parents, they're actively involved, and it's a really cool thing.
One of the things we wanted to do with this was give fans a little closer look at the coach. So what's a special talent that you have that many people may not know?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, I don't know how many special talents I have. I'm definitely not musically inclined at all. I've always been really good at math. You know, so that's probably one thing. I do a lot of arithmetic in my head, so that's pretty good. The other thing I'd say is, you know, I'm pretty good at some of the arcade games. If you go to the arcade, and you know, we've taken our players there before, and playing like the Papa Shot basketball game, I'm pretty talented in that area, or shuffleboard and some of that stuff. So that's some of the stuff I like to do with my kids, and we'll go to the arcade and play the Pop Shot game. But I put up some pretty impressive scores on that, and our guys are usually impressed by that.
I bet your kids are loving their dad's an arcade guy.
They definitely like to go, especially the 8-year-old. The 2-year-old just wants to watch football videos on YouTube all day long, so he's a little obsessed right now with football hype videos. But yeah, they like going to the arcade and just doing different things like that for sure.
So our last question this week, a segment we want to have each week, is why is it good to be a Muskie?
Well, I think being a Muskie means that you're at a place that really cares about student athletes, and it's a place that's evolving. You know, like we talked about the new field, and that's awesome. We got brand new uniforms this year, and that came just from administrative support. So we have brand new Under Armour uniforms, and again, our program's never going to be about stadiums and uniforms, but seeing the support from the university, the financial support is huge. The other thing that we got going on is we got a brand new campus center renovation going on. So it's a $12 million project, and brand new cafeteria coming that's going to be great and going to offer our guys more dining options and things like that. And you know, being a Muskie means you're at a place that's evolving, a place that's growing, and a place that's making really positive changes for you both on the field and off the field. It's a good time to be at Lakeland.
That's great. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
I appreciate it, Rob.
We want to thank Coach Bruton for joining us on Muskies Matters this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Lakeland University coach, please send them to us at colinbruton@minorleaguesportsupport.com. That's colinbruton@minorleaguesportsupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Muskies Matters.